Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Answers from the Lab, where we share Mayo Clinic knowledge and advancements on the state of testing and science from laboratory leaders and the people who are making it happen behind the scenes. I'm Dr. Bobby Pritt, Chair of the Division of Clinical Microbiology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And with me today is Dr. Bill Maurice, the President and CEO of Mayo Clinic Laboratories.
Hi, Bill. Happy Lab Week.
Yeah. Hi, Bobby. Happy Lab Week to you as well.
So are you doing anything fun for Lab Week? Today is mismatch day, so I have mismatch socks on.
Oh, gosh darn it. I did not know it was mismatch day. Yeah, I will do fun stuff. You know me.
There's always fun stuff in the lab, right?
Yes. I know that there's the door decorations out here and there's a selfie station, and I'll do some of that stuff too. And I did do a little video that was put out on, I think, the ACLA website thanking lab professionals. So,
good. Yeah. I hope everyone's having a wonderful lab week with lots of fun games and just recognizing all of our lab professionals for what they do. And then we've both been traveling a bit. You just came back from, I think, Becker's Healthcare Conference, right?
That's right. Yeah, I was in last week. I was in Chicago for that. That's a really, they do a number of different events there. For those of you, I actually tweet, they have some nice newsletters, one that's specific to labs, actually, that Becker's does. But this conference is healthcare leadership. So hospital leadership, hospital system leadership. It's interesting to go every year and hear what's just on people's minds. You know, last year was right when the large language models were being introduced. So there was a big buzz around that. This year, there is still a buzz, but it's amazing how quickly it's gone. You know, where there are a lot of panels talking about how to implement AI, what's the potential benefit to organizations. I think they had the head of these projects like at the University of Pittsburgh, a medical center in Stanford talking about. So there's a whole implementation piece, and there's a huge, maybe not the right word, but certainly a very dramatic proliferation of businesses. I think one of the speakers said there's now 1,100 AI-based healthcare businesses that have either were antecedent or have been created in response. So there's all of that. The other area that I actually went and got a chance to speak to was actually the growth of retail, you know, the retail partnerships in healthcare.
Another hot topic for
sure. Something I've been paying attention to, and like, what's the role of retail? And it's pretty clear that big retail companies like Amazon and Costco and others have an interest in getting into healthcare. There's some fits and starts. Some things have been more successful than others, but it's certainly a trend that's, I think, going to be coming. And it raises a lot of different issues, particularly around diagnostics. And someone even came up to me afterwards, another pathologist, thanked me for being on a panel to talk specifically about diagnostics, because that'll be a big piece of it.
Well, I think that's a really important point you mentioned is, as pathologists, laboratory leaders, laboratory professionals, we need to be on panels. We need to be talking. We need to be speaking with other people that are implementing artificial intelligence, being leaders in that space. We need to be at the table and understand what's being implemented, even if it's an AI product that perhaps is in the medical record, but it's using laboratory data. We should be in those conversations.
For sure. Yeah. And I think you were also at a CAP leadership event.
Yeah, I was.
Right?
Yeah. So that was actually one of the topics that we talked about the past weekend, and then this week, Monday and Tuesday, it's the Pathologist Leadership Summit and the House of Delegates meeting. And I was there presenting at the House of Delegates meeting. And then on Tuesday, it's the Hill Day, where pathologists go to the Hill, to Capitol Hill, to talk to elected officials. So there are opportunities to do this in person. And it's pretty powerful when you're there walking on Capitol Hill and you're going into the offices and talking to your elected officials about things that are important, like reimbursement, so we can keep doing tests for our patients. It really makes you proud of our democracy and the ability to go and advocate on behalf of our patients, really, on these important lab issues.
Yeah, and there's so many things that are important right now for us and just for our government and the things that the federal government's dealing with. So we can't just assume that things that are important to us are going to maintain visibility in leadership circles. We have to take them both within our healthcare organizations, as you said, and also outside. ACLA also has an event coming up, Advocacy Day for SALSA, for the legislation to address some of the shortcomings of PAMA and the decreased reimbursement that would bring. So you're right. Staying engaged, super important now more than ever.
And when it comes to our elected officials, well, they hopefully are in politics for the right reasons. They want to do good. I would say most of them, that's what they want to do. They're motivated by that, but they also know that in order to stay in that position, they need to get elected, which is why it's so important for us to talk to them about issues that are important to us, because they realize that there are people interested in a certain topic, and therefore it raises up to the top for them as well. So that advocacy is really important, just so that they understand what the hot issues are.
Yeah. And I think there are a couple of hot issues now, and even in the infectious disease world.
Always. There's always going to be outbreaks. But yeah, there's a couple things going on right now. Of course, we just talked to Dr. Binegar about the measles resurgence. So our elimination status of measles elimination is at risk. It was considered eliminated in the U.S. since 2000. And there's different categories. Eradication means a pathogen is eradicated off the face of this earth. And the only human pathogen we've done that so far is smallpox. But when you eliminate a pathogen, that means that you've stopped all natural transmission, or most of it, within a certain geographic region. And the U.S. had eliminated measles. But now we have had many, many cases. So as of April 4th, we've had 7 outbreaks, 113 cases. These are mostly in unvaccinated individuals. And measles is a very important, potentially deadly, vaccine preventable disease. So vaccination is really important. That's one thing. And I would encourage people to go and listen to our recent podcast with Dr. Binegar if anyone's interested in that. But then bird flu, that's another important topic. We have been talking about bird flu off and on. It's H5N1. It's a potentially deadly disease of humans. Thankfully, it doesn't appear that this form of influenza, bird flu, is well easily transmitted to humans. And if humans get it, they don't easily transmit it from person to person. So fingers crossed it stays that way. But what we know about influenza is that it can mutate, especially when you get an animal host that can be co-infected with multiple viruses, and then those viruses can exchange genetic information. So the latest with bird flu is that a Texas resident was infected, probably from dairy cattle. And this resident's doing well. It's just the concern that when humans get infected, that may mean that the virus is becoming more adapted to the human host. It doesn't appear to be the case, but we're just keeping a close eye on that. There's been a lot of bird flu this year, lots of flocks of birds that have been found dead, and lots of transmission over to other animals. So we'll keep everyone informed on that. Nothing worrisome to panic about yet, but just something that we should watch.
Yep. And to close the loop again, hopefully this will stay as it is, but if it doesn't, and if we start seeing more human cases, of course, the demand for testing will be immediate. And that's why it's important to maintain our vigilance, because there's certainly a level of fatigue. I call it COVID fatigue in public circles, just social circles, about worrying about this stuff. But the reality is it's still out there, and we need policies in place. The Pandemics and All Hazards Preparedness Act, or PAHPA, which gave the federal government the authorities to do a lot of things that were done early in COVID, actually needs to get renewed. So there's all kinds of reasons that we need to be the voice for our patients always.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of interesting things to talk about. And Bill, you had mentioned the Becker's Healthcare Conference. I actually subscribe. They have a number of informative emails you can sign up for. So if anyone's interested, I find them fascinating. The one I subscribe to is basically what's new in medicine and how it impacts hospitals. But I think there are others as well.
Yeah, there are. And
free,
there's one specific for labs, which I think is a weekly one. There's a labs, Becker's Lab Report, that comes out. And they're nice. They're a nice way to keep track of things, because the article's almost always really short. So every once in a while, I make a little appearance in there too, with a blurb. So that's always kind of fun.
Nice. So you can listen to our podcast. You can read various informative emails like the Becker's. It's good to have these reliable sources of information.
Stay informed, stay engaged. And then like with the measles, unfortunately, that's one of the things we didn't anticipate with COVID, was all the kind of swirl around vaccination and the importance of that, all those things.
So stay educated and keep your good work up as a spokesperson to fight misinformation about things such as vaccines. That's a lot of misinformation out there.
That's right. And last but not least, as we talked before we got on, watch out for your pets. I mentioned my little guy Gretzky got attacked by a coyote, and only luckily it was a little bit too big for him to do him in. But so I got to stay vigilant in my backyard too.
So scary. I think next time though, we need you to have Gretzky and just kind of like show us show us him and that he's doing okay. But yeah, stay vigilant for your own personal health and the health of your family and pets as well. I guess with that, I'll throw in one last thing, which is that the ticks are now out. We just talked about that on a recent podcast as well. So stay vigilant in protecting your pets and your family from ticks and tick bites.
Yes, I was just up north this weekend. It's very wet. And I was thinking it's already wet and warm. And I thought the critters are out.
They sure are. All right. Well, that's probably enough things to warn people about. And again, happy Lab Week to everyone. I hope you have a fabulous time and we will see you next week.
Yep. See you guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Answers from the Lab. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and don't forget to tune in every Thursday and every other Tuesday.